I'm sure that most of you know who I am. I'm Cathy Duffy, and I'm the Senior Community Support Worker for Devon Insight. We are really delighted to be able to welcome you to our first Devon Insight group speaker event. Just so that people are aware that today we are lucky enough to have Alison Badnell, Manager of the Devon Sensory Team, here to talk to us about the Sensory Team and the services that they provide. I'd also like to thank those people who have submitted questions for Alison, and she will endeavour to answer these as part of her talk today. After Alison's talk, if any people have any follow-up questions that they would like to ask, I will be giving the details of how to contact Alison at the end of this session today. So if you'd like to hold on for that. Okay, then I will now hand over to Alison. Over to you.
Thanks, Cathy. Okay, morning everybody. As Cathy says, I'm the manager of the Sensory Team, which is part of Devon County Council. We have 10 rehab officers for visual impairment, or ROVIs for short. You can see why we abbreviate it. And I'm excited to say we have one apprentice who started with us as well. She is doing the ROVI course up at Birmingham University. It's a 2-year course that will qualify her as a ROVI at the end of that, and hopefully she will be able to take up a position in our team. We're finding that ROVIs are actually quite hard to come by, particularly in some of the more rural areas of Devon. So we're following this apprenticeship route to try and get some younger people coming into the team and be able to sort of continue with the staffing levels that we've got. So each of the ROVIs cover a particular area of Devon. We're unusual for Devon County Council in that we cover the whole county, apart from Torbay and Plymouth, which are unitary authorities. So depending on which area you live in, that will be your ROVI for that area. And just going on to some of the questions, you've asked what are the Sensory Team's current services and how, if they will change or have they changed in response to lockdown. So it was a big change, obviously, for everybody. Devon County Council, in the first lockdown, sent out the remit that everybody was to work from home. We actually, in our team, have done a bit of working from home because the ROVIs are travelling around so much, it didn't always make sense for them to go back to the office to write up assessments. So everybody is has access to a laptop that they can use from home. But this obviously was going to extend that in that they weren't going into offices at all. We were also told that we had to really restrict visiting people in their own homes. So we restricted that to essential visits only. So that would be if someone perhaps lived on their own and they needed to be able to operate their cooker or their microwave, or perhaps they needed to know the route to their local shop so that they could get essential supplies. Other inquiries that came in, we tried to manage by phone from sort of March the 23rd onwards. So if anybody had been to the hospital and had been told that their sight was decreasing or they were going to be registered as blind or partially sighted, we would then make contact initially by phone. If somebody was really struggling, then we would go out and visit them. That would be classed as an essential visit. We were also making welfare calls. So we have a list of about 4,000 people who are registered as blind and partially sighted in Devon, and we obviously didn't manage to get through all of those, but we started making welfare calls to people on that list so that we were trying to keep in touch with as many people as possible, and also put people in touch with other services in their area that could support them. there's been a huge uptake of, you know, groups starting up that are supporting with food deliveries and that sort of thing. But obviously it was very difficult. As restrictions were lifted, we started making more visits, and particularly to those people who had been waiting since March to have a visit. We then, around the kind of July time, started picking those up. But referrals have been quite slow because the hospitals aren't at full capacity by any means. So we're not getting those referrals coming in via the hospitals. But obviously, new lockdown has come in. We're pretty much, I think everyone is a bit more used to it. And so, again, we're doing essential visits, but booking people in for hopefully when the restrictions are lifted in December. People can always call in if they need any particular advice. We're able to send out equipment, replacement equipment, that sort of thing, if people need it as well. Okay, the second question was, can I request a home visit from the sensory team directly, or do I have to be referred? So initially, if you haven't been in touch with us before, the easiest way is to come to phone into Care Direct, which is the main entry point into social services or adult social care, and request support from the sensory team. We would then call you back, or the Rovi for your area would call you back, discuss the difficulties, and then potentially arrange a home visit if appropriate. Once you've had contact with that Rovi, you will then have a direct line through to them, or you can ask for them via the general kind of sensory team support. But yes, generally in the first instance, it's best to phone into Care Direct. But often referrals come to us via third parties like the hospital anyway. So if you are registered, or if your registration changes, perhaps from being registered partially sighted to registered blind, that's an automatic referral through to us because we process those registrations. And that comes on to the next question, which is, can you register me as blind or partially sighted? Sorry, I'm using the old-fashioned terms. I should also use sight impaired or severely sight impaired. Yes, we can register people. The whole process is started at the hospital, where the consultant, the eye consultant, will look at your sight and determine what level of sight you have. And if they feel that it is below a certain level or it is of a certain level, they will then fill in the Certificate of Visual Impairment, the CVI. That's your certificate, and hopefully you will then perhaps have be in touch with an ECLO, eye clinic liaison officer at the hospital, who can talk through the registration process, your eye condition, any support that's out there. And then that CVI, that certificate, is sent on to the sensory team as a matter of course. We then finish that registration process by logging it onto our system, and you receive a yellow card which confirms that you're registered. When you sign the form, you're giving your consent to, there's a section that explains, you're giving your consent for your details to be passed on to us, but we still contact you to gain your consent to actually be registered. You can choose not to be, there's no compulsion to be registered, but it can open you up to various benefits and that sort of thing. And that leads on to the next question, actually. Can you advise me on what benefits I'm entitled to? Yes, we can. We're not experts, but we can certainly provide advice around the sorts of benefits that you might be entitled to, particularly if you are registered as blind or partially sighted. To be honest, there's not an awful lot if you're registered partially sighted, but you can still apply for attendance allowance or personal independence payment. Depending, you know, if you're under 65 or over 65, and you don't have to be registered to apply for those. You just have to be struggling with day-to-day life and potentially mobility as well. There are different rates for both of those. Attendance allowance has a lower rate and a higher rate. The higher rate is if you need support throughout the day and throughout the night. personal independence payment goes on various points that you score, which is an awful way, I think, of doing it, but it goes on your medical diagnosis as well as the impact that that has on your day-to-day life and your mobility. RNIB do some really good information sheets on both PIP, personal independence payment, and attendance allowance. And you can actually get citizens' advice to help you fill in the form, or the Department of Work and Pensions will actually come to your, well, in lockdown times, will come to your home to help you fill in the form as well. Do you provide equipment to me free of charge? Well, this depends, I have to say. Before we talk through any equipment with people, we obviously need to assess what difficulties they're having. So a bit like Devon Insight Sight Loss MOT, we do a sensory assessment with people to talk through their difficulties and their goals as well. So what people might be wanting to do, what they're finding difficult. Sometimes it's not a piece of equipment that's required, although someone may have heard that, you know, a piece of equipment does X, Y, and Z. Sometimes it's just a matter of doing things slightly differently. One example is being able to detect certain tins. There is a talking device that will tell you what labels are on tins, and there is a software program that will read barcodes to you, but some people will just use a system of elastic bands. So one elastic band is tomato soup and two is baked beans and three is cat food. It can be as simple as that. So that's why we like to talk to people initially about what they're finding difficult and try and work through some solutions with them. If we find that a piece of equipment does potentially meet someone's needs and they are unable to purchase it themselves, then yes, we can supply it. So in theory, that could be anything within reason, up to a reasonable cost. But the things we tend to issue are those that keep people safe. So it could be a liquid level indicator to indicate when hot water reaches the top of a cup. It could be applying bump-ons to a cooker, a microwave, washing machine, or it could be a white cane, which we would issue as part of a mobility training program. Things like telephones and general sort of standard equipment, we would generally expect people to purchase themselves. It's part of a kind of household equipment that we would expect people to buy themselves. But if there is a particular piece of equipment that's going to meet somebody's need, we can also look at grants. There are various grant-giving companies, organisations, although fewer and fewer, I have to say, since the whole coronavirus has started. I tried to do a grant for someone recently, and everyone I approached said, "I'm really sorry, but we're really strapped for funds." And I think everyone can appreciate why that is at the moment. How long do I have to wait for a home visit? When we receive a referral, we try to see people within 28 days of receiving it. It may be that we make a phone call and we book to see somebody, and that may be slightly longer than that. But generally, we have a target of trying to see people within 4 weeks of having a referral. And generally, we're pretty much up there. We're about 70% that we achieve that. Sometimes there are reasons people go into hospital, or they want their family to be there, or coronavirus. But we can prioritise cases if needed. So generally, once you've had that first visit, as I say, you've got the contact with the Rovi Direct, and if any follow-up is required, then you can liaise with them direct. Once you've had an assessment, if there is a training program, like a skills teaching that's required, that can start within, a week or so of having your assessment. But obviously, if we do receive lots of referrals in one go, then it does take a little bit longer. Do I have to be registered to see a Rovi? No, you don't. Anyone who has sight loss that's affecting their daily life can ask to have advice from us or potentially a home visit if needed. Sometimes things are as simple as a phone call. Someone might be inquiring about how to access talking books or local groups in their area, that sort of thing. And often that can be done with a call. But no, you don't actually have to be registered to see us. Can you help me learn household skills, for example, ironing, to help me more independent? Yes, that is exactly what the Rovi does, really. We, again, would initially have a chat with you about what you want to achieve and what you're having difficulty with, and then we would devise a program with you. It could be 3 sessions initially, depending what it is, and then we would review that against, you know, has that been achieved? What else do we need to do? There's no time limit on working with people. You know, everyone's different, and for somebody, for instance, learning to use a white cane from scratch, some people pick it up straight away, a bit like driving a car, I guess. Some people pick it up straight away. Others take much longer. Some people have additional problems like hearing difficulties or balance difficulties. So there's no time limit. But obviously, if something was going on and on and on and there was no progress, we would need to review that and see, you know, is it achievable? Is it realistic? Perhaps look at doing something a different way. Or potentially, if someone is really struggling, it might mean doing a social care assessment to see if someone is not accessible, is eligible, sorry, for social care, in which case, you know, it would be a package of someone coming in to help somebody. So yes, daily living skills. So in the kitchen, ironing, yep, that's an example. Cleaning the home, there are certain techniques we can teach around that. Communication, using the phone, using various apps. We're still trying to keep up to speed with the various applications and technology that's available, but we do have a basic sort of ground level knowledge of what's available and how to change your device to make it more accessible for having large print or perhaps it talking back to you. Mobile phones have come on a huge amount and have got lots of accessible features built in now, which we can advise around. And then the mobility element as well. So that we do quite a lot of teaching people routes and landmarks to look out for, crossing roads, going up and down stairs safely, that sort of thing. And as I say, that can be, you know, a couple of sessions or it could be several months. Okay, that was all the questions that I was submitted. So I think I've probably covered everything that we do. As Kathy said, she's going to provide the email address and telephone number for our team. So if you weren't able to get through to Care Direct or you wanted to come through to the Sensory team, particularly as a result of what you've heard today, if that's prompted more questions, then by all means get in touch with us and we will do our best to answer your queries. I think that's it from me.
Okay, Alison, that was great. Thank you so much.
That's okay.
It's something that we get asked quite often, and I think you're right that during this COVID-19 situation, there's a lot of uncertainty from a lot of organisations for people about what is still available and is it available in the same way. So that's really cleared that up. Thank you so much.
Good. Okay.
I said that I would give the contact details if people had any further questions or queries for Alison and her team. And Alison has kindly given me the Sensory team's email address or mailbox, which is Sensory, that's Sensory, at devon.gov.uk. I'll say that one more time in case people are scribbling. That's century@devon.gov.uk. Their number is also 01392 386 611. Again, I'll repeat that for people who are trying to write that down. It's 01392 386 611. And again, Alison, thank you so much. That was really informative and useful.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, I will just wind up today's event, just to remind people that these events will run weekly, always on a Tuesday, always at the same time, so that's starting at 10:30 and finishing by 11:30. The number to dial in will always stay the same, and the PIN number stays the same for each event as well. Our next event is next Tuesday, 17th of November, and our speaker will be Graham Flynn, our Chief Executive Officer at Devon Insight. And he will be talking about our services, probably a little bit of historical information, and about the services that are happening now as a result of COVID-19. We do have a schedule for all of our future events, and this is available on our website. Or for those that haven't already received it, we can send out our latest bulletin, which has all the schedule information for these events. This is provided in large print and audio version on USB. So you can call us on our head office number, which is 01392 876 666. To request a copy of this bulletin if you haven't already received this. I will repeat the number is 01392 876 666. Or if you're already in contact with your local community support worker, you could just give those a call as well. Okay, we have come to the end of that session, and I would like
there's one thing that's just occurred to me. We have seen a lot of inquiries about TV licenses, with the new fee coming in. So I thought, it just quickly occurred to me, I'd take this opportunity just to remind people really that
if you're registered
blind, you can apply for a 50% reduction in your TV license. If you're registered partially sighted, that doesn't apply. So severely sight impaired, yes, you can get 50% reduction in your TV license, and you can do that by sending them a copy of your registration certificate. If you don't have a copy and you need a copy, you can contact us. If we've registered you, we should have a copy. If it's a very long time ago, it might be in the depths of County Hall somewhere, but we do have electronic copies saved as well, but not of the very old ones. So, if you're registered blind, you can provide. If you're registered partially sighted, unfortunately, you're not eligible for that 50% reduction. Thanks, Kathy. Okay. I just got that in.
No, very good.
Kathy?
Hello? Who's it?
Kathy, it's Jenny here. Is it possible to open it up for questions? It's Jenny. Is it possible to open it up for questions? If they've got any questions to ask Alison or any extra questions?
Okay.
I'm happy to if we've got plenty of time. I wasn't quite sure if you had other people on the call, to be honest. So I'm not sure how long I had.
Yes,
but I'm happy to take questions if... I don't think there's a huge amount of people on the call, is there? So hopefully it'll be nice and ordered.
Okay, we can give this attempt, folks. I would remind people to try not to talk over each other. It would be useful. Okay, I'll just wait for everybody to become unmuted. Girls, if you can start unmuting. Okay, I'm starting to see all the green buttons come up. Not there yet. That looks like it. Okay, all right. Now I should be able to hear everyone. Was there anybody that had a question for Alison?
I've got a question. If I don't know if anybody else is already speaking. I'm sorry if they are.
No, you're okay.
Sorry, who is this?
Right, it's Christine from the Tavistock.
Okay.
Yes. Well, I suppose my question is, Devon Insight is really good because they, if you like, cover all aspects of sight loss from all sorts of reasons, such as the macula and the glaucoma. And as a Rovie, Alison, a team of Rovies, do you have direct links with the various charities and bodies that deal with the different types of eyesight loss and how it can affect each of us so very individually?
We don't have sort of individual named contacts, no, but we would certainly put people in touch with the Macular Society or the International Glaucoma Association or, you know, the RP Society. Yeah, the Rovies have certainly got all those details available, and, yeah, would advise people of those if they have a particular eye condition, yeah.
Right. Yes, thank you. I suppose I ask that because I'm aware just within our own little hub, we can all see things slightly differently, if that makes sense, and what one person might be able to see, the other one can't, and it's trying to understand what those different impairments are, really.
Yeah, I mean, when we do an assessment with somebody, obviously one of the first things we ask them is, do you know what your eye condition is? If we have their registration certificate, we will have that detail and be able to talk that through with them as well. But I think sometimes it can be very reassuring for people when they say, oh, I've got macular degeneration, and we, you know, immediately know that they're going to have problems with reading and seeing detail, but they may be able to see, you know, quite well in the distance. And I think, you know, to be able to talk to people on that level about their particular condition is quite reassuring for people, yeah.
Yes, well, thank you. That is reassuring as well, but the impact that it has. Thank you very much for your answer. I appreciate that.
That's okay.
Thank you, Christine.
Hi, Cathy. Can I add to that? This test would be one of the SOs that we are doing.
Hi, Tess.
Hiya. First of all, thanks, Alison. That was a brilliant overview of what the sensory team provides, so thanks for that. And I've learned a few things this morning myself, which is always helpful. we have got a team at the RNIB that are actually devoted to providing information for people that don't understand their eye condition. So if you choose to, you want a little bit more information about treatments, I mean, obviously they can't make a medical diagnosis, but they are fully trained, so they can give you an overview of your specific condition, bearing in mind that there are over 400 different eye conditions. But if you want to find out more, you can refer either direct to the RNIB or through the ECHOs. And obviously we're running from the hospital still remotely.
Great. Thanks, Tess. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Tess. Was there anybody else that would like to ask a question? Okay, that's all good.
Kathy?
I can hear someone. That was quite faint. Sorry, who was that?
Anne?
Hello, Anne.
Does Alison realise that the RP Society is now classified as Retina UK?
Oh, no, I didn't. The Rovies might well do. I don't always get so involved in the sort of data operation, but thanks for that. So they're called Retina UK now.
Retina UK. It's got a different website and everything. I can't
okay.
But it's different. It used to be
okay.
RP Society Blindness.
Yeah, okay. I will check our records for that. Thank you.
Sorry, that came across quite crackly for me. I could hear you, Alison, but I didn't actually hear what the...
Shall I repeat? It was that the RP Society, which is Retinitis Pigmentosa,
yeah.
They've changed their name and are now called Retina UK and have a different website and that sort of thing.
In which case, this is Christine again, if I may, it's reminded me, the International Glaucoma Association have decided to change their name this year, and they're now the Glaucoma UK.
I think I did know that, actually.
Right, yes, they must be having a renaming of the societies year.
This is Nisha here. Could I just say how much I enjoyed everything I've heard this morning from everybody, and I've learned a lot, and I do appreciate all the work that you people go into.
Thank you so much. That's really, that's a really nice piece of feedback. Thank you. I'm not sure who it came from. I'm really sorry. My line suddenly decided
that was Misha.
Misha, thank you.
Can I second what Misha said?
Right, is there anybody else that wanted, you might as well use us while you have us here?
Kathy, it's Graham here. Can you hear me?
Hello, Graham. How are you?
I'm good. Hello, everyone. It's Graham here, the Chief Exec of Devon Insight. I've been listening to this and really enjoyed it. Like everybody, I've learned some new information today, and I just really wanted to thank you for putting this together. And Alison, that was just great. Thank you very much.
No problem. That's fine.
Okay, back to you, Kathy.
Thank you. I didn't even know Graham was there. In the background.
Yeah, I got to keep an eye on you.
Well, I know that. All right. Did anybody else have any questions that they or queries or statements that they wanted to share with the room?
No, except to add to the thanks that Misha has offered. As she said, I've learned a lot as well this morning. So thank you very much, Alice, and your team.
Okay. Thank you.
Fabulous. Okay, well, I think we will wind this session up. I also have really enjoyed it and learned things myself today as well, which is what it is all about. For our following session, it was really useful to have some questions for Alison, although Alison, I'm not sure if you'd agree with that, but it's been very useful for us, and the feedback is it's been very useful for people as well. So I'd like to thank you for answering those. People would like to submit any questions that they have for our next event, which is with Graham, then please feel free to call us. So it's 01392 876666.
Kathy, can you say which of the Robies actually cover which area? I think my Robie's Rebecca, but I'm not sure.
Yes, I can give you a quick run through.
I won't go
into too much detail because it's sort of certain villages in certain areas, but basically, yeah, you've got Becky Gully covers East Devon, which is from Axminster, Honiton, Ottery, through to sort of Exeter Airport, that sort of area. Gisella Storm covers the other part of East Devon, the coastal part, so Budley, Sidmouth, Exmouth, and kind of up to sort of Woodbury, that sort of area. We've actually got two Rovies in Exeter, so cover kind of central and spreading out Exeter. Anne-Marie Collins covers the huge area, Mid-Devon, so Crediton, Tiverton, Oakhampton, up to the border with sort of West and North Devon. John Wade is North Devon, and we have a vacancy in North Devon at the moment as well. So poor John's covering the whole of North Devon at the moment. We have Fiona Kilby, who used to work in Exeter. She's now covering South Devon, so down to Plymouth. Laura Simmons covers the Tavistock area and that kind of all around Dartmoor. Steve Giles is Tynmouth and South Hams. Nikki Searle is Newton Abbott, Dawlish. I think that's everybody. Yeah, Claire Aldrich and Sheila Matthews are the two Rovies in Exeter. I think that's everybody. And our new apprentice is called Jess McGrath. But she's accompanying the Rovies on some visits, so you may come across Jess at some point as well. But she's doing great. It's really encouraging.
Super.
That's it, I think.
Fabulous.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Any more questions?
Thank you very much for an interesting talk.
That's
you are
okay.
More than welcome. Who was that?
Peggy.
Thank you, Peggy.
It was Peggy.
Okay, so if there are no more questions then, I think we are winding up to 11:15. I have set a timer on my phone because I'm mindful that some people will be trying to get their calls in under the hour because of the limits on their phone. So at this point, I would like to say thank you very much for everybody who came along today. Again, to those that submitted questions, I'm glad you found the talk useful and informative. And again, express my thanks to Alison. And thank you and goodbye. Hopefully catch up with you again next week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.